Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 through 15. I will read. You can follow along. I can read pretty quick. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, or in the cross. Let me just remind you, as we're getting ready to get into this word, that we are going to be fellowshipping immediately after service in the fellowship hall. We really want you to stay, if you possibly can, and fellowship with us and celebrate Easter together as we enjoy each other's company in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this word today. I have sought your face. I believe I've heard from heaven. I thank you for speaking to us. I thank you for touching our hearts, our minds. I thank you for what you've already done in this house. Lord, we have sensed your presence in such a wonderful way, and we want to say thank you. We don't ever want to take for granted what you say and what you do. Holy Spirit, we love you. In Jesus' name. I know that for most Christians, Easter is a celebration of Jesus' resurrection, and we do and certainly believe that. And we celebrate this season as the time when Jesus rose from the dead. And that's why on this beautiful Easter Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, we sing the songs like we sang today. He's alive again. I like that song, I love it. He's alive again. The stone's been rolled away. He's no longer in the grave. He's alive again. I can hear the angels say, let all the earth rejoice. He's alive. Then we followed it up with, he's alive, alive, alive forevermore. And many other beautiful songs that we could sing that celebrate the fact that Jesus rose again. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. But on the third day, hallelujah, he rose from the dead. Glory to God. On Good Friday, they call it Good Friday. But I'm going to tell you something. On Good Friday, Jesus suffered the most horrendous death and the greatest crucifixion, persecution, humiliation that could possibly be placed upon a human being. And if it had not been for Glorious Sunday, listen to what I'm saying. If it had not been for Glorious Sunday, Good Friday would have been the darkest day in history. It is Sunday. It is resurrection that made Friday good. Glory to God. But you may be experiencing in your own life a dark Friday today. But hold on, Sunday's coming. Hallelujah. Look at somebody say, Sunday's coming. I put on Facebook the word I was going to deliver today is what the devil doesn't want you to know. What the devil doesn't want you to know. How many knows the devil doesn't want you to know a lot of things? Amen. But what the devil doesn't want you to know is he doesn't want you to know he is defeated. He doesn't want you to know that when Jesus rose from the dead, he left behind him a devil who was eternally, completely, and irrevocably defeated. The devil doesn't want you to know that you are already redeemed. You're already delivered. You're already healed. You're already saved. And you got to understand, I'm not speaking about literally or experientially that everybody is already saved or everybody's already healed. But you have to understand this. From when God speaks it, he is looking from the cross back. We're looking on the other side of the cross and we're seeing the finished work of Christ. And so from God's perspective, it's all finished work. It's already done. Now, from now on, everything is about believing what he did and appropriating it by faith. In other words, when a person gets saved, We lead them to the Lord, to faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't jump back on the cross and die again. It's a finished work. It's a done deal. Nothing to be added to it. All they have to do is receive and believe and receive and accept it, and it is a finished work. It's the same thing about healing. He doesn't go back to the whipping post and take those 39 stripes again. It was a finished work once and for all. By His stripes you were healed. Now we have to rise up in faith like General Caleb and say, give me my mountain. Amen. Satan's defeat was once and for all. His power and his authority was completely and irrevocably stripped from him. He can't get it back. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he defeated the devil. But in reality, that definition is too narrow. And you might say, why would I say that? Well, if all you see in Easter is the resurrection of Jesus and his victory over the devil, then you miss the forest for a tree, meaning you miss the bigger picture. So let me say this before we go on. There are themes within the scripture and within the story of redemption that are so sublime that it's astounding to think that God permits us to not only perceive them, but also to participate in them. You need to know that everything Jesus did in his earth walk on this earth, it was substitutionary. Which means he did it in the place of or in the behalf of another. And that in itself is cause for celebration. If I didn't go any further today, that would be enough for us to leave this house shouting and praising and glorifying God because he took your place. Because Jesus took your guilt and he took your shame. He took your sickness and your disease. He took your penalty for sin. He literally went to hell to pay your sin debt so you could go to heaven. That's a good deal. That's a good deal. He died on the cross as a sinner, not for his sin, but for yours and for mine. The Bible declares in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He did it all in my place. He did it all in your place in substitutionary manner. And this is enough, my friends, to celebrate resurrection, to celebrate Easter for the rest of your life. This is enough. Jesus is alive. The cross could not keep him. Death could not hold him. And hell could not contain him. And because Jesus lives, you and I can live also. Because he lives, hallelujah. I live, glory. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Hallelujah. And some will call it Easter. Some will say it's Easter. Some will say it's Resurrection Day. Others say New Beginning. I like that one. New Beginning. It's a new beginning. Some will say New Beginning. Some will call it Easter. I call it Hope for the Hopeless. I call it Hell's Defeat and Heaven's Triumph. I call it Love Personified. That's what it was. Jesus hanging on that cross was love personified. So everything Jesus did, he did in a substitutionary manner. He was persecuted. He was humiliated. He was crucified for you and for me. Although he was perfect and sinless, he was crucified. Listen to this. And he was buried as a sinner to put away our sins. He went to hell in our place. Oh, how many's glad about that?
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. And then he kicked the gates of hell off the hinges. And he rose from the dead. And he spoiled principalities and powers. And he made a show of them openly triumphing over them in the cross. So when we celebrate Easter or Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But in actuality, we are celebrating our own resurrection. We are celebrating that everything that Jesus did was for us. We live because he died. He died for us and rose again. Hallelujah. But this plan, it is so amazing. It is so outstanding that it doesn't stop there. You have to go deeper. Everybody say, go deeper.
Go deeper.
Not only did Jesus do everything he did in a substitutionary manner for us, but he did something else. He did something most people don't think about. He brought us into identification with him. That's the scripture I read to you in Colossians. Buried with him, crucified with him, but raised with him. That's called identification. Everybody say identification.
Identification.
Identification. Identification. This is what he did. Not just substitution, but identification. Let me tell you something. This is the root today of all homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, gender dysphoria, many other things. Here's the root of it. There's no identification, no identity. They are souls without identity. They don't know their identity, so they're trying to find identity in changes to their bodies and the pronouns that they give themselves. They're trying to find themselves, and that's the root of it. It's the root of so much anger and frustration and hatred and violence, because all these things are symptoms that point to the root of lacking identity or distorted identity. When you don't know who you are, who you really are, you will act crazy. You'll do crazy things. You'll let people, you'll let your environment, you'll let your culture and your environment define you and give you your identity. Let me give you an illustration. If you took a baby that was born into royalty, a king, a prince, but you raised that baby in poverty and lack, that baby would have the blood of royalty, but would not have the identity of royalty. So it would grow up reflecting its environment, living like a beggar and acting like a beggar, although it's a royal child of royal blood. And so you have to understand that's the problem of so many in our society today. Sin has deprived and distorted the identity of millions of people, so they are acting crazy. So when you see all this craziness and all this insanity, you have to understand the reason is they don't know who they are in Christ. They haven't got their identity yet. So we've got to understand they will never be happy, never be fulfilled or complete until they come to Jesus, because he is the creator and he's the manufacturer and he's the one who gives us our identity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when we say he brought us into identification with him, we're first saying, following me, following this with me. We were crucified with him.
Yes, amen.
We were dead with him, died with him.
Yes.
This is all Bible. I promise you, every bit of it. We were buried with him.
Yes.
We were raised with him.
Yes.
From the death of sin. Then we were not just raised from the dead. We were raised with him to sit with him in a position of power and authority in Christ. Ephesians 2:4-6 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and he hath raised us up together, hallelujah, and made us, you and I, us together, and Jesus, he made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's part A of our identification. Part A of our identification, God looks at us through our identification with Christ. He reckons that everything Jesus did to redeem us and deliver us from the power of sin, that we were with him, we were in him when he did it. Oh my God, that's powerful. Think about that. This is the way God looks at it. God looks at you as a child of God, as a follower of Jesus Christ, as one who has accepted Christ to be your personal Savior. He looks at you as though you were there with Jesus on the cross. That's how the old man of sin dies. He's crucified. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ.
Amen.
Nevertheless, I live. So See, substitution was Jesus dying for me. We know that. We got that part. Identification is me dying with Jesus. That has to happen. That old man has to die. And that's how that old man died. I was crucified with Christ. That's called identification. So we were with him in the cross, on the cross. Think about this. This is in the mind of God. We were with him in the grave. Everyone say identification.
Identification.
Say it's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
We were with him in the grave. And we even went on down deeper. We went with him into hell. When he struck down the devil and he took the keys of death and hell away from him, we were with him. In the mind of God. When the hordes of hell tried to hold him down, he cast them off. He busted down the gates of hell. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. This is what the devil don't want you to know. He doesn't want you to know the reason you have power over him is not because Jesus, not just because Jesus defeated him, but because by identification, you were there in Jesus, with Jesus, when he defeated him. Oh, hallelujah. You got to see that. That's what the Bible teaches us. It's called identification. When Jesus stripped the devil of his power and his authority, you were there. I was there in Christ. That's the way God saw it. We were there in Adam in the beginning when he sinned. He sinned and all humanity was brought under the curse of sin because God saw us in Adam. But when Jesus came, hallelujah, he became the second Adam. And now through his obedience and his faithfulness, we are reconciled to God because he sees us in his Son. Now, the devil don't want you to know that. Hosea 4 and 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not lack of available knowledge. Lack of experiential knowledge. There's a difference. Everybody say, there's a difference. Let me say that again. My people are destroyed not for lack of available knowledge. How many know we're living in the most knowledgeable age? This little phone right here, I can tap into a resource of knowledge like nothing we've ever seen. Just on a phone, on the computer. You can say things we don't know. How many have ever said, hey, Google? Define this word for me. I do it all the time. Hey, Google, define this word for me. I'm surprised Google doesn't say, can't you read... Don't you believe in dictionaries anymore? But we have so much resources available. Yeah. Yes. Knowledge is at our fingertips. Yes. I've got 15 Bibles on my phone.
Yes.
I probably got 800 to 1,000 books on my phone. You can just put it. It just covers it. It will hold it. The knowledge that's available. But listen, there is two variations. Remember what he said. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So there are two variations of ignorance in the church and in the world. One is uninformed ignorance. Now look at somebody and say, don't feel bad if you're ignorant. It's probably because you're uninformed. Now you shouldn't feel bad about it. You shouldn't feel bad about that. Some of that's not our fault. We just weren't in the right place. We didn't hear the right teaching. We just missed it somehow. And it's easy to do. I understand that. That's uninformed ignorance. But then there's the other kind of ignorance, and it's the decidedly ignorant. Now these are the ones who intentionally ignore knowledge. They ignore truth that calls for obedience and places responsibility on them, and they know it. See, this is different than uninformed ignorance. This is actually called stupidity. So look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's all right to be ignorant. Just don't be stupid.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. There is a cure for ignorance. It's called knowledge. Hallelujah. But there's no cure for stupidity. So you may not remember it, but in the mind of God, you were there when Jesus defeated the devil. It was not just a substitutionary work of him doing it in our place. It was a work of identification, in so much we were there in Christ when he defeated the devil and stripped him of his power and humiliated him. And the Bible says that he made a show of them openly. He humiliated all of hell. And that's what the devil doesn't want you to know. That in the mind of God, you were there with Christ, with him through it all. In it, through it, from beginning to finish. You were there. Look at your neighbor and say, I was there, were you? Yeah. Well, I should say something. If that was all there was to this gospel message, it would be enough. Look at somebody and say, it would be enough. It would be enough to put a backbone of steel in every believer, give them a boldness and a courage that would shake hell. But that's not all. There's more. Take your neighbor and say, there's more.
There's more.
That was the first stage of our identification with Christ. The first stage was with him to destroy sin and its power over our lives. That's part A. The second stage is part B. It's our identification with him in his resurrection position and power of authority. That's why Romans 5:17 says, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Part A is what we were redeemed from. Redeemed from sickness, redeemed from disease, redeemed from poverty, lack, fear, darkness, confusion, lust, perversion, hopelessness, anger, jealousy, rebellion, hatred, strife, and murder. That's what we were redeemed from. Hallelujah. But part B is what we were redeemed to. And we are redeemed to authority over the kingdom of darkness. We're redeemed to joy and peace and health and strength and hope and purpose and prosperity and righteousness and faith and love and power to live a holy life. This is why the devil didn't want you to know this. Our victory is not just by Christ. Our victory is in Christ. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. Our authority is in our union with him, seated with him in heavenly places. We don't just live for Jesus, we live in Jesus. Hallelujah. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. Don't you know the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Holy Ghost lives here. Everybody say, the Holy Ghost lives here. Say, you want to know the address of the Holy Ghost? Just look right here. It's not a metaphorical, metaphysical interpretation of something. It's a clear, definite description of a spiritual reality and our spiritual union with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Say, I am joined to the Lord. Say, me and Jesus are just like this. I'm joined to him. That's the secret of the Christian life. The secret of the Christian life is it's not trying to live for Jesus. Somebody said one time, said, I've tried. I just can't do it. It's too hard. I tried that living for Jesus thing, and it's just too hard. It's because nobody ever told you that it's much better than that. It's not you trying to live for him. It's him living through you. And he can do it. He can live the Christ life through you. It's Jesus in us and with us, living his life through us. That's why Paul said that. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not me that really lives. It's Christ that liveth in me.
Amen.
He's living his life through me. That's what the devil doesn't want you to know. He doesn't want you to know your identity in Christ. The devil is more than happy for us to celebrate the resurrection of one man from the dead. Not too worried about churches around the world celebrating the resurrection of one man 2,000 years ago. And if we stop there, let me tell you something. If we stop there, we're not any threat to hell at all. But what hell fears is that we recognize that through identification, when Jesus rose, we rose. And that authority that Jesus carries is now our authority. And everything Jesus paid for by his death, his blood, his burial, his resurrection, it is now ours by inheritance through identification. That's why we are called in the scripture the body of Christ. It's all about identification. What the devil never wanted you to know. We're not some weak, beggarly worms. I tell you, I take offense to that. We're not some weak, beggarly worms just trying to survive and hold the fort till Jesus comes. We're the body of Christ. Look at somebody say, I'm part of that body.
I'm part of that body.
We're the body of Christ. Fully identified with Jesus Christ as one. When the devil sees you, he is supposed to see Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he looks at you, he's supposed to see Jesus. We're the body of Christ. When the devil looks at you, he's supposed to have nightmares. He's supposed to feel the pain of his defeat and his humiliation, because by identification, you were with Jesus when he did it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that when the devil sees you walking, it should immediately bring up bad memories for him of the day that Jesus beat him with a big stick. Somebody had a shirt one time and showed the devil on there. He had big knots all over his head and said the devil is ugly because Jesus beat him with a big stick and showed the cross. I'm telling you, friend, listen. When the devil sees you walking, it ought to bring up memories of his defeat. That's why he hates us so much. He hates us so much because he knows what we don't know. He knows things that we haven't ever learned yet. When the devil came after Job, then God actually spoke to the devil and said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And you know what the devil said? The devil said, "Well, I've thought about him. I've got to tell you the truth. I've thought about him. But you got a hedge around him. He's protected. He's blessed. You're watching over him. He's prospered." Do you know the devil had more confidence about what God was doing for Job than Job had what God was doing for him? I'm telling you, the devil knows things about you you haven't learned yet. The devil knows things that belong to you you haven't found out yet. That's why he wants to keep us ignorant. And that's why the Bible says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Now see, Christ rose from the dead. You raised with him. Would you stand with me? We're almost done. When Christ raised from the dead, you were raised with him. When he was raised to sit in heavenly places, you were raised with him. To reign in life. There's so many people in the church that have this idea. I can't wait to get to heaven so I can sit down and rule and reign with Jesus. My friend, that's a wonderful thought. But if that's where your mind goes, and that's as far as your mind goes, then you have almost invalidated about 2/3 of the work that Jesus came to do in the earth. Because he didn't come just to get us to heaven. He came to get heaven in us. He didn't come just to get us to heaven so we could sit down with him in a throne and rule and reign over peons. He came to give us authority to rule and reign in this earth over demons, over darkness, over sickness, over death, amen, over disease, amen, over depression, over fear, over anxiety, over stress, over worry. And how many know in this world needs that?
Yes.
They need somebody that knows who they are. They need somebody that knows their identity in Christ. I'm grateful today for everything that he did for me. That substitution. I'm thankful. So thankful. My God, I'm so thankful. And for years and years and years and years, that's all I knew about the work of Christ. But one day I got deeper. I got deeper in the Word. And I found out, Paul said, we were crucified with Him. We were buried with Him. And then it said, we were raised with Him. And then He said, we were raised with Him to sit together in heavenly places. The only thing I knew about heavenly places was when I was growing up in church and we had a good service, somebody would say, wow, it was wonderful. I feel like we've sat in heavenly places tonight. And that's wonderful. But friend, it's so much more than that. It means that we have been raised together with Christ to a place of divine authority, that we are to rule and reign in this life as kings and priests. I'm thankful I'm going to heaven, but I'm not waiting until I get to heaven to start ruling and reigning. I'm reigning in Christ. I'm ruling and reigning in my house. I don't want sickness, disease, depression, fear, anxiety, strife. I don't want any of that in my house. I don't want any of that in my body. We're to rule and reign over the works of the devil. This is what the devil don't want people to know. He don't want people to know. Because if you don't know who you are, and you don't know what's been done, and you don't know what you accomplished in Christ, if you don't know that, the devil will beat you 7 ways from Sunday. He will wipe the floor with you because you do not know who you are. When the devil comes messing with you, what you need to do is you need to straighten up your back and say, devil, do you know who you're messing with? Shake them keys. You're going to tell him. You got to remind him. He knows. He knows. But he's counting on the fact that you don't know. Everybody say, I know.
I know.
Lift your hands and say, I know.
I know.
What Jesus did.
What Jesus did.
I know.
I know.
What I did in Christ.
I'm not ignorant.
I've got knowledge.
I got knowledge.
I'm armed and dangerous.
I'm armed and dangerous.
Devil.
Devil.
You better watch out.
You better watch out.
There's another one. Who is filled with the Spirit. Who has identity. Who knows who they are. And you can't push me around anymore. Because He lives. I live also.
Because He reigns.
I reign also.
And
I've got a message for you. Get under my foot. So you can read it. Greater is He that's in me. Than he that's in the world. Jesus lives. And He lives in me. And because He lives. I live. And I reign. In this life. In Jesus' name. Give Him a shout of praise in this house. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I could just feel something in the Spirit. I could just feel little demons starting to tremble and running around. So, oh my God, I was hoping they would never find that out. I was hoping that they would never hear that. That message is dangerous for me. Little demons starting to tremble and run around. The devil himself saying, I was trying to stop him from that. I couldn't stop him. The work is done. The work is done. From now on, it's all about you and I appropriating and stepping into what has already been done. Jesus lives. And because He lives, I can live also. Let's sing it. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know, He holds my future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. I'm going to ask you, is there anybody here that needs prayer today? Is this Joanne? Joanne, come. I knew that Joanne was going to come today. We're going to pray for Joanne. She's been having some battles, some struggles.
I appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you recognizing that you can find some help in the church.
Amen.
I appreciate that. Does anybody else need prayer today? If you need prayer today, would you come? I need some people to come and help me pray. If you help me come. Come on, Sister Roman, if you help me pray today. We're going to pray for Joanne today, that God is going to move for you in your behalf. He's going to intervene for you. There's nothing too hard for God. Father, stretch your hand this way, please, to Joanne today. Father, we lift Joanne to you right now. Lord, you know the battle. You know what she's walking through. You know the test. You know, Lord, what it is, how it feels, Lord. You're walking with her today. She's not alone, Lord. You're with her today. We lift her up to you. We pray, God, for the divine intervention. And you will show up big in her life, Lord. Lord, we take authority over the devil, over his attacks, over his lies, over discouragement that tries to attack her. Remind her, we bind it, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that she is lifted up today. And strengthened with all might according to your glorious power in the inner man today, Lord. She is lifted high, Lord, to put the devil underneath her feet. To walk in power and authority in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, God, Lord, let's praise him for that. Go ahead and praise him for that today. Glory to God, we believe we receive, Lord, victory. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The devil is under our feet. The devil is under our feet. Hallelujah. Come on, just pick your feet up like that and put those feet down and say, you're under my feet, devil. You're under my feet. That's it. Praise God. He's under our feet. Glory to God. The devil is under our feet. The victory is ours today. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give him praise in the house. Come on. Give him praise in the house. Thanks be unto God, which causes us always to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ.